It's Sunday morning and you're listening to Beat. A brand new report has been published by the GAA and SETU. More Than a Role was a joint venture between the GAA, LGFA and Camogie Association. The study provides an in-depth examination of the experiences, realities and challenges faced by club officers across Gaelic games. Joining me to discuss the report is Dr. Patrick Delaney from the Exercise Science Department at SETU, am I right in saying?
Sport and Exercise Science, yeah.
And Dr. Noel Connors, people may know you from your own sporting days. We'll start with yourself, Patrick. Tell us a little bit about this report. How many clubs were involved?
Okay, so there was about 1,300 clubs. It was an international sample of all the clubs around the world, not just in Ireland, but in Australia, America and so on. We put it out to, I suppose, any club that is within the GAA, the LGFA and the Camogie Association, and anyone who is, I suppose, a club officer was invited then to participate in the study.
Now, I'll have to ask, what is a club officer exactly?
So a club officer, I suppose, that can be any role from chairperson, secretary, could be PRO, could be child protection officer. There's a whole variety of roles that are there. Depending, of course, on the club, there is ones that are very set and specified, but each club, there is some nuances that are there depending on, I suppose, the size and structure of the club.
So the person behind all of the organising, the WhatsApp group chats for training and keeping the whole show on the road, basically.
Yeah. Basically the heart and soul of the club. These are the people, I suppose, that when you go into the club, the people that you don't see behind the scenes, or sometimes you do see them, but just basically they keep everything going. And I suppose from the WhatsApps, as you say, constantly keeping people notified, to organising the blitzes, to organising the finances, the club gear and so on and so forth. Everyone involved in that.
Every person involved in sport, GAA, soccer, will have someone like this in their club, the beating heart of it. Some very interesting findings from this report in regard specifically to the GAA, in that people are so committed to their GAA clubs that they are literally working an extra day. Are you surprised by that at all, Noel?
No, I suppose fundamentally the answer is no to that, because I suppose I'm a club officer and I have been for probably the best part of a decade at this stage. I'm assistant treasurer. They wouldn't give me the full title of treasurer because they obviously don't trust me with the money that much. But look, I'm heavily involved. You sit on several subcommittees. You spend probably 3, 4, 5 days out on the pitch doing something, whether it's training, 3s, 4s and 5s, which I was last night, along with the 7s, 8s and 9s. And then you have committee meetings, subcommittee meetings. So it's that type of stuff. So when I saw the data, everybody is probably familiar. And Paddy and myself were talking on the way out. It's anecdotal information that we have, but this type of study was never done before. So the GAA is very well researched in terms of strength and conditioning and performance and GPS and all the other data that's out there. But this type of study was never conducted before. So we wanted to really get into the grassroots, if you want to go back and call it that, and see what happens within clubs. Try and get as much information as possible, and then try and ultimately help club officers. Because without clubs and without thriving clubs, it's very, very difficult then for clubs to be successful.
And you mentioned obviously the club officers and the role that they have, and there are many different roles, be it a secretary or a chairperson. How much has that in itself changed, say, in the past 20 years in terms of paperwork, etc.?
Yeah, there's several things we could discuss here, and we'd be here probably for a couple of hours to discuss everything, but there's certainly been a massive change in terms of professionalism, of roles and responsibilities. Even just looking very basic figures, over 70% of people that we surveyed, of the 1,305 people that filled in the survey, 70% or over 70% have degrees. So that kind of indicates kind of a level of professionalism just beyond the surface. Now that obviously raises, benefits in terms of the capability and the competencies of people, but then obviously that might reduce the accessibility for some people that mightn't necessarily have the educational background, and it might impact their confidence moving forward. So that's obviously one strand. The obvious thing here, which most people are probably familiar with as well, is probably the overexertion of a few people. 30% of people we surveyed had more than one role, and these were people that might take on, we'll say, a child officer role and might be, the chairperson, for instance, or might be child welfare officer and another type of role, coaching officer, development officer. As Paddy said, depending on the organisation, be it LGFA or Camogie or the GAA, because we've 3 different organisations at the moment and we know we're trying to reform that, but they can range anywhere from 10 roles within clubs all the way up to 21 different roles. So fundamentally, people are very overexertion in terms of what they do and how they do it. So people can be doing well in excess of 10 plus hours, 8 hours on average, if they're doing two roles, which again, in theory, is probably looking at the surface is fine, but in reality, like, the vast majority of people are working a 40-hour week on top of trying to, like, manage kids and home life and trying to balance other stuff outside of day-to-day working life as well. So that's probably a huge challenge. So even though, like, we have a huge connection with, you know, the social capital of a club, the reality is we're very dependent on the volunteers and what they do. So that's probably a challenge for the organisations moving forward, because, yes, there is obviously turnover, but the way in which a turnover happens, they can be often small roles that are filled within a very short period of time, where some might go in to fill a gap, if you want to call it that, for a very short period of time. You'll have other people that work there in excess of 4+ years, which is in itself probably not a great governance standard, but that's the reality. But the key thing here is not to lose the knowledge, or the tacit knowledge, that, you know, is the fundamental and the essence of running the club.
In this study, it's really interesting that the GAA, the LGFA and the Camogie Association have all come together. Were there any discrepancies in terms of the number of people who volunteer for Camogie clubs and ladies football in comparison to GAA clubs?
Not that I can recall within the data. I think really across the board, the one thing that has to be said, and look, I suppose to be clear, I'm not really a GAA person. My background is actually athletics, but when you look at GAA as a whole, what really stands out within the organisation is just the dedication to the sport. And that came across in all organisations. But I suppose the one thing that did come true was that one club model and looking towards that greater integration, because you have people, there's almost duplication roles, because, you know, if you have a girl coming in, you're registering with Camogie Association, the LGFA, whereas if you have a boy coming in, it's a very different setup, and which then leads to duplication of tasks and more people doing more work when you can actually refine that a bit more. But again, that's, I suppose, a starting point, and there's still a lot to come with that. But look, as you look at it as a whole, there wasn't really much difference. There was a passion to help out. But as Noel said, you know, you had a wide variety of different types of volunteers from different backgrounds, and some people were given an inordinate amount of time. We were there for many numbers of years, and that then in itself raises other governance questions in terms of tenureship. But at the same time, that tenureship also helps bring in the next generation of people coming in and showing them what to do and how to do it. And that hesitancy, I suppose, when it comes to club governance, it's not so much of a problem getting people to coach. You'll find those people go in and help with the kids and so on and so forth, generally speaking. Yes, sometimes there is challenges with that. But it's when you're doing those other roles, like the secretary, the chairperson. Look at the chairperson of my own club, a fantastic man. The amount of work that he's doing since he's come in is absolutely unbelievable. He's doing like all those phone calls, you know, keeping the show on the road, keeping managing the relationships. There's a lot there that has to be done. And I don't think that's, while we knew it anecdotally, to actually recognise that on paper and now to look at a pathway going forward as to how we can improve that is fantastic. But no, there wasn't really any difference, I suppose, to come back to your main questions, between each of the associations. There was as much dedication across each.
Back to yourself, Noel. Johnny starts off playing under six, and by under 16 he has no interest and that parent is gone. Is that something, do you think, that happens regularly?
Yeah, and like, I suppose that's probably a question more to do with dropout rate, and it's probably more prevalent in women, but that's a completely different conversation. But yes, fundamentally what you're trying to do is to try and keep as many people involved in the administration side of the club as possible. And that, look, that's a huge challenge, because even take the child that leaves the GA club, it's even the people that are involved in grassroots and training the under sixes or even the under 16s. The challenge is to try and get them to train, and after doing a long day's work and then trying to like spend time doing administration stuff, particularly like the start of the year where you're trying to look at registration, all those various things, including insurance, and then towards the end of the year, it's kind of year end and trying to make sure the finances are somewhat like reflective of the club over the past 12 months. The one thing I would say about that is probably it's more of a governance thing, more so than keeping people in there. People, by their very nature, are very reluctant to get involved because they don't feel that they can add any value. And that's just the reality, even though anybody that has decided to jump into the administration side, there is, and it's very like an overused term, but there is a role for everybody. And a small like couple of hours here and there makes quite a significant difference on the people that are running the club. And I can see, like, we're very fortunate to have her, like, a very good secretary within our club, like Hannah, and I'd say she spends, the GA probably won't be happy for me to say this, but probably spends the bones of like 3 or 4 hours a day answering emails, on phone calls, trying to organise various different things, making sure that the affiliations are paid, making sure that any bookings that come in for the club, for the pitch or the gym or the alley or the juvenile pitch, that they're all in line with what they should be. So all those various things that she's doing on a daily basis is reflective of what happens across the board. So the challenge is just trying to get as many people in as possible to try and alleviate some of the pressure. And even with that, I suppose the huge challenge is more the governance side of things. So like governance is designed to try and protect people and try and protect organisations. Whereas in real, in a practical sense, it's very, very difficult, because in theory, things can look very straightforward, but in the reality, it's not that fundamental. And that's probably the more challenging thing.
You mentioned there, it probably would be better if you could alleviate some of the pressure from one individual. Was that one of the main findings in this report?
Yeah. And probably one of the main findings as well is that, look, every club, regardless of like if you're LGFA, Camogie, if you're the GA club, or you're on that journey towards one club, every club are facing the same challenges. So I suppose what Paddy, and we were very fortunate to have Hannah, who was a research student as well, this was more of a highlighting and a data collecting type research approach to seeing like, look, this is what's happening. We're well aware of what's happening. We just needed the data to understand it really. This is more to do with trying to like make people aware that this is what's happening. But we're trying to, as an organisation and probably as researchers, how can we support people? And how can we get as many people in the door as possible? The GA is an incredible organisation, and it's how we can make it far more efficient, far more accessible to people that mightn't necessarily be GA people. And that's really what it's about. It's about trying to keep like the tacit knowledge that we've created over generations, how we can pass that on, making sure that there's really good succession from one person to another, making sure that we're not losing sight of what the GA club was set up to in 1884. It's about like participation, involvement, it's about community, it's about family. And that's really what this is about. It's about trying to support the overall like essence of the GA, and to make sure that anyone that goes into any of the 21 potential roles, that they have the support, they have the resources, they have the toolkits, that they have the time to be able to do the things that they need to do, and make sure that their GA club is run efficiently. It's given access to people all the way from 3 years to whatever they want to retire at and beyond, and making sure even for the older people that still want to give back to the community and be involved, that there's a space for them to do so.
Dr. Patrick Delaney and Dr. Noel Connors, thank you so much for joining me this morning on the Sunday Grill.